citizens this weekend. This gentleman became a mentor to me, a young preacher out of college, evangelizing, going from church to church. And when I arrived in Claysburg, Pennsylvania, to preach a revival, and I watched Brother Williams in his visitation, his care for his flock and for the people in his church, a great impression was made on my life. And we have been friends ever since that time. He entrusted his church to me to come back while he was away and preach there while he was gone. What a joy, what a privilege that was for me as a young whippersnapper of a preacher, just starting out in life. It's always a pleasure and a joy to be in the presence of Brother and Sister Williams. Would you give them a warm welcome this morning?
Thank you, Brother Lay. Greetings to each of you. It's always a joy to be with God's people. Amen. Wherever we go, wherever we find them. Amen. I appreciate the invitation to come back to share in fellowship with you again, and especially with our dear friends, Brother and Sister Lay. He mentioned that he preached for me and took care of the church one year when I went to the General Assembly. But he didn't tell you the rest of the story. So I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. And maybe this will help you to know how we appreciate them and trust them. We left our three children with them. And I tell you what, I just don't leave my kids with anybody. Amen. But it's wonderful to know that God is still real. Amen. And that He knows our hearts. He knows our lives from beginning to end, inside and outside. And as one preacher I think I heard one time said, up and down, all around, hat, shoes, and pocketbook. He knows us all together. Nothing hid from His all-seeing. Amen. And we're just who, kind of, I guess I kind of feel like Popeye must have felt. He said, I am what I am. Amen. So that's what we are. And, we're pretty rusty, to tell you the honest truth. We used to do this quite a lot. We traveled a lot in evangelistic work, same as Brother Lay did after we left that pastorate. We evangelized for 3 years. All over the state of Pennsylvania as well as in some other states, but we know how that works too. So God's been good to us all the way. We kind of put this team together when we, actually before we were ever married, I'd married her or met her while I was in service out in over the other side of Harrisburg back in World War II. And we met, and we even started playing. She played the accordion, and of course the piano and organ. And I tried to thump along on the guitar, and we put it together, and that's what we have used in our ministry all these years until a little over a year ago when wife had open heart surgery, and since that time she hadn't been able to play the accordion. We thought maybe we could work it. But we tried it before we left the house, and even tried it some more after we got here over at the Parsonage, and it just didn't seem to work. So we're going to try it, and Sister Lay's going to help us out here a little bit. And you'll know kind of the era that we came from. that's been, well, 67 years ago that we were married, so it's been a while. But we're still trying. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe the Lord will give us, maybe the Lord will give us a good blessing just for being available.
Amen.
Amen. So. You don't mind me sitting down on the job. Amen.
Children can go to children's church.
Oh, bless the Lord. I'm sorry for the stumbling around, but I can't help that. Oh, yeah. The doctors tell me I have neuropathy, in case you might wonder why I'm staggering around. I haven't had anything stronger to drink than a cup of coffee early this morning. I guess you call me a teetotaler. My dad always told me, he said, never take the first drink and you never want the next one.
Amen.
And I live by that. Not only because of what he said, because I grew up in moonshine country down in the state of Florida, and I saw what it does to people. I didn't want any of that. Amen. Thank the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
He's real.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. He's real.
Yes.
Really real.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 2. And I want to begin reading at the 11th verse of that chapter and maybe go on down and maybe even finish that chapter. But there's some beautiful words here and some things we, I think, need to think about in this day and hour in which we live. And that is the things that Christ talked to us about when he was here on this earth. How many believe Jesus walked on this earth?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible helps us to understand that they that come to God must believe that he is.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that he is a rewarder.
Amen.
Of them that diligently seek him.
Hallelujah.
He didn't say half-hearted. He said those that diligently seek him.
Yes.
Amen. So we live by faith. I think that's what I'm hearing and have heard all my life. We live by faith, not by sight. If I live by sight, I might not even come. Amen. If I live by feeling, my feelings weren't, you know, I wondered if I might have to stop on the road somewhere before I got over here. It is just a trifle over 100 miles over here from my place. Well, I better quit rambling around and get to preaching. Let's read the book. We've had a good time of fellowship. We appreciate so much all that you are and all that you're doing for the Lord's sake and for our good friends that are leading this congregation. You know, a congregation needs good leaders. Everybody's hush up for it. Come on and let's read the word. Chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise.
Amen.
And his disciples remembered that it was written, and here he's referring over to the book of Psalms, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And I want you to catch this. This is where we're going to spend a little time a little bit later. Jesus, the Jews, that verse 18, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast days, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. From this scripture and those couple of verses I've specially noted there, I want to use a thought this morning that I trust will be a blessing and help to each of us, and something I've thought about a great deal and prayed about. And I just like to read the scripture. I love God's word.
Amen.
And I like to pull it apart if I can and put it back together, but get it all together.
Amen.
Because you can't just read one little scripture here and another and over yonder. You can just about prove anything you want to prove by doing that. But you got to get the whole picture.
Right.
The whole story. The whole picture. And that's what Jesus, I think, is trying to help his followers to see. The whole picture. And there's some, of course, like some of these that he was just talking about, that hadn't gotten the whole picture yet. When they wondered how he was going to build that temple in 3 days that it was had taken all of these years, 46 years, and many scholars feel and think that the temple really wasn't even finished yet when Jesus was here. It was still under construction. That's Herod's temple, not Solomon's old temple. It had been destroyed long before. But they didn't understand him. Their mind was holden, as one scripture put it, that they couldn't understand. Kind of like those disciples that walked with, was going on the road to Emmaus, you remember, and this was after the resurrection. And as they walked along and was talking about what had taken place in Jerusalem, the crucifixion and all the gory stuff that had happened in the city of Jerusalem, and here come another person along and joined with them and fellowship with them along the road and talked to them. And he opened, the Bible said, he opened the scriptures to them. And so much so that after it was all over and he vanished out of their sight, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us, talked with us along the way?
Yes.
Isn't that the way Jesus is?
Yes.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Oh, the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. It's wonderful to walk with Jesus. And I've said it so many times, and I still say it. I encourage people to read this book. Amen. There's a lot of books I wouldn't admonish you to read, but I'd admonish anybody to read the book. Well, this is only half of it. This is only the New Testament I got here. But the whole book. In fact, you can't understand the New Testament if you don't have a background knowledge in the Old Testament. But it's all God's Word, and it fits perfectly together.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you ever put a puzzle together? Oh, yeah, I got some puzzle putters together. My older daughter, she loves puzzles. She puts them together. Great big ones, hundreds of pieces. I don't know how she ever gets it all done. But at any rate, when you first start a puzzle, it don't make much sense, does it? Just when you get a piece or two, you wonder, where does this piece go? Where does that piece go? And finally you get it figured out a little bit, and you get one or two pieces together. But it still don't make a lot of sense. In fact, Probably after you get about halfway through, it begins to make a little sense then. In other words, you don't get the picture until you get way down the road. But I want to tell you something. I believe we're getting more of the picture every day that we live. Amen. And I believe it's lining up right with this blessed word of the Lord. Praise be to His wonderful name. So, this morning I want to talk to you just a little bit about the ultimate sign. You noticed in our text this morning, what sign, they said, do you show us to help us to understand that we can believe what you're telling us? What sign? And all to talk about the ultimate sign. Now, everybody knows that Jesus was a one that provided a lot of signs along the journey. He was one that performed miracles, many miracles. But here they're asking, and in fact, they kept on asking for signs and miracles everywhere he went. But our family, our children used to sing with us some too along the journey, especially when they're younger. Of course, they're all from home, gone from home, married, and got their own families now, and get scattered out. And our one younger granddaughter's over in China now, and our former daughter-in-law, since our son passed away, she remarried, and they're on their way to Italy now, worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord, and speaking the truth to people they come in contact with. But anyhow, these people were constantly asking for signs and wonders. And you wonder at it because that everywhere Jesus went in his earthly journey here in this old world, he was performing miracles and doing signs. And yet people were still crying out for more and more and more signs and wonders. In fact, right after he had fed the 5,000, the people on the other side of the lake, after they'd cleaned up gathered up the 12 baskets full, and they had gone on across the lake on the other side, and the folks had gathered back around again on the other side, and they were still asking for signs. Show us signs. Show us signs. Show us some more signs. But finally, they bugged him so long until he finally answered them this way. He said, "You're seeking a sign. You are a wicked and adulterous generation. I'm not going to give you another sign except..." And he gave them one sign. Let that register for a minute. He gave them one sign.
All right.
He gave them a couple of different illustrations to illustrate that sign. But only one sign. What was that sign? We read part of it here in our text this morning when we read there that he said, just as... let me go back and look at it here and maybe read it. He said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up." That's one of the examples that he gave them for the one sign. But there were some other examples that he gave as well. And some other things that were going to happen along the journey. Some of the disciples. You remember that even when Jesus was talking to them, his own disciples, about him going to Calvary and giving his life for the sins of humanity. You see, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I've heard John 3:16 quoted a couple of times this morning. But there's another verse right after that one that a lot of times people miss. And that is after he said that he came, that he loved the world and was given his life for the world. But the next verse said that Christ didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might through him be saved. Amen. He won't this world to be saved. He wants every man to be saved. In fact, there are other scriptures that says he's not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every man to repent of their sins, turn their hearts to God, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to. Amen. Amen. And I might let you in on a little secret. Everything that glitters is not gold. even though it looks like a miracle. Anybody ever watch on, I think it's on Christian TV, It's a Miracle? Anybody ever watch that program? Man, there's some fantastic things happen on that program. But I'll be honest with you, I don't take it all in. Well, people talk about being on one side or the other. I'm a conservative, or I'm a something else on the other side. Well, that to me doesn't make any difference. I think I'm a realist. At least I think I'm that way. I want to know it's real. In fact, I've said it over and again. I want to know the truth.
Yes.
The whole truth.
Yes.
And nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Now, if I get a little excited, don't worry. I won't run. I'm sitting on a stool here. I want to know the truth.
Yes.
Why? Because the Bible helped me to understand that we can know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make you free. Amen. And isn't that what people want? They want freedom. They want freedom. A lot of people don't have any idea what freedom is. They want freedom to do what they want to do, irregardless of what God says or anybody else says. That's not freedom. That's bondage. That's what happened to the young man in the 15th chapter of Luke that left home because things were a little too strict at home, evidently. And he said, "Daddy, I want my portion of the inheritance now." And you remember that story. We call him the prodigal son. He left home because he wanted it his way rather than what the father, who was full of wisdom and understanding, knew and tried to teach to his son, but his son wouldn't have it. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of a far country. And the next thing you see him is out in the pig pen feeding pigs instead of working for his dad on the big acreage back home.
All right.
Amen. Well, we better not get into that story too far, because that's a big story. Amen. But I'm thankful that God loves us, and He's not a father that's going to pet us. He's going to correct us. In fact, the Bible says, "Whom the Lord loveth,
He chasteneth."
He chasteneth. That means an old country fashion, gets the switch after you. And if you live far enough back, it might have been a razor strap. In my day, it was an oak limb. Switch off of a note. And they stang pretty good, too. Amen. It didn't hurt. Well, it hurt for the moment. But I understood that it... I think my dad even told me one time, it'll feel better after it quits hurting. Amen. It hurt for the moment. And that's what the scripture says. It's not glorious for the moment, but afterward it produces good fruit.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you have to prune some of the old limbs off, the dead limbs and those that's not producing fruit. You have to prune them off if you're going to have any crop at all. So, let me get to another story that Jesus used. When he talked to the people about this sign that we're talking about, they were constantly asking for signs. Let me just give you some of what the scripture here says in Matthew 20, or chapter 12 and verse 38. Then a certain scribe of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." The Pharisees were constantly seeking for signs. In fact, in Matthew 6 and 1, they asked for more signs. In Mark 8 and 11, more signs. Luke 11, 46, they were still seeking more signs. And then Paul the Apostle, one of his books, the first book of Corinthians that he wrote, in the first chapter, in verses 22 through 24, he said, For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But note this, but we, Paul the apostle and all the apostles, but we, he said, preach Christ crucified.
Amen.
Unto the Jews, a stumbling block.
All right.
And unto the Greeks, foolishness. Does that sound normal for this day and time which we live in? But to them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, you see, he puts them both together. Amen. The Greeks need Jesus. The Jews need Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God that the gospel is going forth more rapidly now than ever before. And it seems to me that the Lord is trying to tell us that the end time is upon us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just talking to you, Pastor. Since I've been here, we've been conversing about some of the things that are happening in this world today. And some of what Jesus said when he was talking about the end time. How that wars would come, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, earthquakes, famine, all of this. But then he said, but the end is not yet. There's more to it. The end is not yet. But if you keep reading that 24th chapter of Matthew, you come down a few more verses. And he said, then the gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. So he's pinpointed the end for us. When the gospel is preached to all the world, and with the mass media today and all the satellites that we have that can push the gospel into these countries where a missionary could never get.
Amen.
Because of the restrictions of some of the governments of the world. But they can't push the airwaves out. They'll suffocate. They've got to have air. And it travels on the airwaves. Well, so we are knowing that the end is coming. So how are we going to be saved? How are we going to know the Lord? First of all, we got to know that Jesus died for our sins. He paid the price. He paid a debt he didn't owe, and I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I needed someone to take my sins away.
Amen.
And Jesus did that for me. Praise be to God. And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And like the song you were singing there this morning from the 51st chapter of Isaiah, the Lord taking not His Holy Spirit from us. I cherish the fellowship with the Lord and with His people.
Amen.
Amen. And that is one of the most blessed things. But then when we think about these signs and wonders that people are still... I don't know if you've run across anybody lately that's still looking for signs. They're running after signs.
Yes.
Show me this. Let me see this miracle. Let me see that miracle. Let me see another miracle. And I'll believe. You know what Jesus told the people of His day? They said, give us meat like Moses did for the people of Israel in the wilderness. Well, first of all, he corrected them. To begin with, he said, Moses didn't give you that meat. You said, give us meat like he gave to the Israelites. Number one, Moses didn't give that to them.
Amen.
It was my Father, he said, that gave them that.
Amen.
Food in the wilderness, the manna. That was number one mistake. Wasn't him at all. But he said, those people that ate that food, guess what? They all died. In other words, it didn't give them life, really. What's he talking about? There's a physical life, and then there's a spiritual life. And that's what Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about in the next chapter, chapter 3 of the same book, John, where we're studying in the Sunday school lesson this morning. There's a physical life, then there's a spiritual life. That's the reason that Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can I be born again? He was only thinking in the natural. Can I enter the second time in my mother's womb? How ridiculous. He's supposed to be a leader in Israel, and he didn't understand that. He understands a little bit, I guess, about childbirth, but he sure didn't understand about the spiritual birth.
But Jesus said, Nicodemus, let me tell you something. Just as really as you have had a physical birth, you must just as really have a spiritual birth, or you'll never see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But how that's going to be? Through the resurrection and through the crucifixion of Jesus that died for our sins. But let's be reminded of one thing. We talk about the cross a lot. And I love to sing about the cross. I love to hear about the cross and what it's all about. But when you see the whole picture, and here again, let's have the whole picture, not just part of it. You can preach the cross all you want to preach, but if you leave out the resurrection and you never have a resurrection, the cross is not worth one iota. If Jesus is still in the grave, your sins are still on your back.
Amen.
And mine too.
Right.
But oh, the truth is that he did arise from the dead. Just like he said. And when he told another bunch of them, he said, "But I'm going to tell you something else." He said, "It's going to happen like it did to Jonah." Just as Jonah was in the belly's fish. I think the King James says in the whale's belly. But anyhow, some question there. But at any rate, he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And guess what? He had to spit him out. I don't know. I've heard some tales about some preachers preaching about this. And it made him sick at his stomach. That preacher that was running from God. You can't run from God. He'll catch up with you. Amen. He knows where you're going before you ever get there. Amen. That's what I've tried to tell some people that didn't want to live the way God wanted them to live and the way the Bible told them they should be living. I'm trying to preach it to them. And they said, "Well, I don't have to come to church here." I said, "Well, let me tell you something. I don't know where you're going, but wherever you're going, it's going to take the same thing to get to heaven from there as it does over here." Amen.
Amen.
So just changing churches is not going to make any difference.
Amen.
Amen. It's what you got in here. Amen. Have you been to Calvary? Have you had the blood applied to the doorpost of your heart?
Amen.
Have you been circumcised in your heart? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you honestly and sincerely believed that not only was Christ died on the cross? You remember Jesus tried to tell Peter and the disciples this about him going to the cross. And Peter even rebuked Jesus. Said, "That can't be so, Lord," or "Not so, Lord, that can't be." You remember what Jesus said to him? "Get behind me, Satan." Was he calling Peter the devil? Well, not exactly, I don't think. He said, "It's the devil that gave you that kind of information, because it must be that I go to the cross or else salvation won't come." Amen. "Get behind me, Satan." That's from the pit. So don't believe that lie. It's, and the Satan is the father of lies, you know, according to Scripture. Amen. But then again, when Peter repented, went out and wept bitterly after he denied the Lord, guess what? When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They gave him one answer and another. Thought John the Baptist might be him, come back to life again, or one of the other prophets. "But whom say ye that I am?" That's making it personal, and that's the way this religion is. Or, well, I don't like to call it religion. It's a personal experience with God. It's a real experience, not just a religion. "Who do you say that I am, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter answered that question. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
But he didn't stop there. He said, "Peter, you didn't learn that from mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. You didn't learn that from this world. You learned that from a revelation, a divine revelation that was revealed unto you." This same Peter that the Lord had to rebuke because he thought he knew more than the Lord knew, and didn't want Jesus to go to Calvary, but Jesus knew that it was must be in order for man's sins to be forgiven. But thank God, he saw the light. He saw that it was not only the crucifixion, but it was also the resurrection, even though they was kind of hard pressed to believe it even after it happened. Because when the women came from the tomb and told them about it, they didn't seem to believe it. They had a hard time believing that he actually rose from the dead. And this to me is that miracle, that ultimate sign.
Amen.
That God has given to us.
Yeah.
And notice how that it affects us and our salvation. In Romans, I believe it's in the 10th chapter of Romans, verses 9 and 10, I believe it is. Let me just turn there and see if I can read it. 10th chapter of Romans. What does it say? I think that's where it is. Go back up to the 8th verse. That is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Children of the flesh are not the children of God. That's the reason the Lord rejected Ishmael. He was not the promised child. He was not from God. And in verse, they were children of the flesh, are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, that at this time, when I come, Sarah will have a son. So this is the reason that Ishmael was rejected. Somebody help me. I'm looking for the scripture that says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which we preach, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart, okay, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that a prerequisite to salvation?
Amen.
We must believe that he rose from the dead. Because as I said, if he didn't rise from the dead, he's still dead and we're still in our sins, according to 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So, now I hope you see why I say this is the ultimate sign. It's the one over and above every other sign. I don't care how many signs are done. And we know that God is a miracle working God. We still believe that. And we still see miracles in today's world. But I'm a little bit dubious about some that some people want me to believe that there are miracles. How many has ever seen a miracle? I don't see too many hands. A few. Do you know miracles are for a purpose? But the world today, and a lot of the Christian world, is crying out for more signs. Show me a sign. You can preach the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ till you're blue in the face, and a lot of times half of the building is empty. But you can say, people are having miracles over here. All kind of things. Kind of like that program I told you about. It's a miracle. And they'll flock to those places looking for miracles.
All right.
I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I don't jump every time I hear something like that. Here's where I check in.
Amen. That's the word.
Stay on this. What did Jesus say to this man Peter when he finally confessed, "You are the Son of God"? Amen. Jesus said in so many words, "Peter, that's exactly right. You said it right. That's who I am. The Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah that was to come. I am He. And it's on Him, it's on that rock, that I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen.
Hallelujah. unless it's built on the rock, the sun or the floods will come, the storms will beat. But the one that's on the rock is going to stand.
Amen.
Jesus told his disciples, he said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. You have to plant a seed. There's life in that seed. That's the reason it sprouts out and grows up like it's growing now. I've had to mow my yard already a couple of times. But thank God it grows. And I want to tell you today that God's church, it's been planted. The first fruits have already risen.
Yes.
And the seeds are coming, still coming up.
Amen.
The sower and the seed. Read the 6th chapter of John. Sower and the seed. Sowing the seed. Some fell among good on good ground. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns choked it out. Others fell in where it didn't have much depth of earth. No deep consecration and dedication anymore. But thank God some of it fell in good ground and brought forth a good harvest.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
What is our harvest going to be? I don't know. Depends on where you're sowing your seed. Amen. I know there's a lot of this sowing your seed business going on today. Sow your seed with your dollar bills. Well, the gospel needs support too. Yes, indeed, it does. But I wonder if it's really the gospel that some of them are looking for.
Right.
Or if it's like Jesus said, you're not following me because you want to know the real truth. You're following me because you were fed with the loaves and the fishes.
Amen.
That's the reason you're following me. And don't you know the Lord knows that?
Right.
He knows why we're following Him.
Amen.
Amen. I better quit. I've done gone too long already. So good to be back with you. But let me ask you this. Do you really believe that Jesus is the Christ?
Amen.
Do you believe He died on Calvary's cross for you?
Amen.
Do you believe His blood washes away your sins?
Amen.
Oh, nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. But also, do you still believe that He arose from that grave?
Amen.
Like the old song says, up from the grave He arose.
Amen.
With a mighty triumph o'er His foes, He arose a victor from the dark domain. And He lives forever for His faith to reign. He rose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. If you believe that, Bible said you can be saved. Hallelujah. That's what it takes to be saved. But if you don't believe that, it's about time you get your house in order, because it's what it's going to take to make it through to glory. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.